Hi, it's Joan Breibart, and this is Body Conversations, and it's April 9th, 2024, and the title is called Exercising and Weight Loss. So I mentioned in the last podcast when I was talking about Weight Watchers and Peloton that in the Weight Watchers program, but this is true of all of them, if you show that you're exercising, you know, which is on the honor system, no one's there, then you get more points if it's Weight Watchers, or you can eat more under something else. And everybody accepts that this is good, that this is the way it should be, that this is truth, this is accurate, and on and on and on. Meredith Luce, my friend and a partner in 80 Bites, which was, as some people know, Diet Directives when we started, used to joke that on the treadmill and the bikes, they should have a place where they dispense soda and candy and chips and things people want to eat, right? Not an apple. Anyway, of course they don't have that, but they blare at you how many calories you've torched, you've burned up, that have disappeared. And most people talk about how someone seeing that, and maybe it's going to be 500 calories, that can immediately translate that to something they want to eat, and now they deserve it because first they're ravenously hungry, and then secondly they've gotten rid of those calories, so now they can take in more calories. Anyway, it just goes on and on. It's such a perfect marketing thing. I always used to say it'd be as if I'm on a bike, and I don't really like to bike. I actually have a summer beach place in a town where there are no cars on this island, and you have to bike, and I don't like it. Mostly I walk, or use my scooter. But people love to bike. I think people like to be on a bike, so it makes it very, very attractive to sit on something that I consider to be uncomfortable, with all this flexion in my knee and hip. But I'm unusual, so I'm the person to say, no, this isn't comfortable. Anyway, whether you're on a treadmill or a bike or an elliptical thing, what you're doing, a repetitive motion. I mean, it's not improving your proprioception or flexibility, and you are there for your heart rate and your health, hopefully, but it's undeniable you're really there to torch calories because that's why they blare that out at you. Anyway, as I said, I've always found this kind of it's just silly, but I'm the only one, and Meredith. And Meredith also was a certified aerobic dance teacher, so that's even funnier. But at least, of course, when you were doing that, you were moving around the floor to music where it was, you know, related, as opposed to just sitting there on the bike. Anyway, so I belong to Lifetime, which is a block and away from my house. But of course, in New York, people don't even want to go a block. So I really only use it for the swimming pool. And that's going to be a new focus for us because we found out that Ty4X in the pool is just fabulous, and so more about that to come. Anyway, so if I'm not and I feel like doing some of this exercise, I go downstairs in my building. I live in this huge building, and they have a really big gym with the best equipment, Techno Gym and Peloton, of course. So there are three Peloton bikes. Somehow I thought there were four, but apparently they're not updating the subscription totally. I'm not sure why I think this, but there was a notice about any kind of upgrades. You shouldn't press any buttons when you're on the bike. But anyway, so we have free Peloton, you know, we don't have to pay for it. And what I normally do is hook up my Ty4 to the handlebars, and sometimes I sit for a little bit on the bike, and pedal a bit, but I really hate it. The seat's so uncomfortable, I can't take it. But then I'll stand and I'll lean back into extension, and then I watch these people doing what I call trash talking. I mean, to me, they're very vulgar. I mean, they're all swearing, you know, it's fuck this and get this shit together and whatever. And the reason they're doing it is because it makes it sound so hip and they're so with it and blah, blah, blah. But to me, it's just trash talking. And of course, then the music is just horrible from my standpoint. Everybody else loves it. And it's too loud. I guess you can turn it down. And then the person is always smiling at you. And then as I watch this, and this is a person who's getting paid $750,000 a year, plus probably the best benefit package of any company, probably beyond Apple, you know, where I think they pay for dog walkers, but it's everything. So it's a fortune of money they make to sit on a bike and trash talk to this music. So anyway, I don't do it too often, but I do use the Techno Gym recline bike. That's a regular seat, you know, just like a chair, a seat. And then on the side are armrests, right? So what do? I'm wearing Tie 4 XL, I take the arm bungees, I cross them right over my belly button, and I hook them on these armrests. Immediately, it's like pushing me in, and I, you know, have to sit in a different position than my leaning back in a posterior tilt. So it's very, very strong. I mean, I suppose you could just sort of loosen the bungees or maybe not cross them, but if you cross them and hook them on, I mean, it is a lot of abdominal work. Then I start to pedal and I take my hands and the leg bungees, which are of course loose, and I do things with it to guide my foot. Sometimes I put into, you know, extreme, extension and I'm pointing my toe and then I'll pull it forward towards me. And I'm, you know, so it's a very strong feeling on your Achilles and calf. Sometimes I'll just triangle them out wide and I do all kinds of things, cross them, I do just everything. Twice I've sat next to people because I think there are three or four of these bikes and they're looking at their phone or whatever they do. And I'm telling you, if I were naked and just wearing this device, they wouldn't notice me. Because this is typical of what you see today, particularly in this wellness bitch atmosphere in which I live, where people are so self-absorbed that they're totally unaware of anything. So anyway, I figured out how to use this bike. Now, of course, the only reason I really want to do it is so I can turn on YouTube and watch Tango, because I'm a Tango fan and Tango dancer, and so that's great, because it's totally boring and I hate doing that kind of stuff. And even with all the activity with the bungees, I really don't like it. So that's what I do, and then I look at other people and see what they're doing, and I'm just amazed at how long they can stay on the elliptical or the treadmill doing the exact same thing for 20, 30 minutes and really running. So that comes to the next part, which is if you finish doing what you're supposed to do in terms of exercise, you're hungry. You have to be hungry. I'm hungry. I'm rarely hungry, but I'm hungry. And then you deserve it, you know, because you did all this, so you deserve to eat, and you know, than people do, and it just seems to me kind of crazy. But the reason that this hunger exists, maybe people don't understand, is that your cortisol levels go up. And, you know, cortisol is high when you get in the morning to get you up from sleeping, and then it should drop, it should be down to around 6. But it raises it, and then if you're already, you know, too big, you're fat, you're obese. I mean, the average woman in America has almost a 39-inch waist and 35 is obese. This is the average, right? Then somehow the cortisol stays elevated and it tells your brain you're hungry because, you know, that's the, you know, fight or flight or whatever it's called. And then you need more energy, which means you need more calories. And, you know, it just goes round and round and round. So you're legitimately feeling hungry, but you don't really need any calories, but your body says you do, and that's how you feel. I don't know if people know it now that they're getting into the hormones and which of course has always been the case. I mean, 10 years ago we published a book called Forget Calories, Hormones Rule, but you know, before Ozempic, nobody was even listening. So what happens is that, must have been 15 or more years ago, maybe more, scientists looking at obesity came to the conclusion that obese people did not have any leptin, L-E-P-T-I-N, easy to pronounce. No one knew what it was, but it's the hormone that makes you not hungry. You know, it sounds like a negative, but whatever. When it's there, you're not hungry. There's another one called ghrelin, G-H-R-E-L-I-N, which makes you hungry. So they assume, because they realized this wasn't, you know, about calorie burning, it was hunger, that maybe people like this didn't have any leptin. It was just left out of their hormone bag, and that's why they were hungry all the time. And then they found out, no, they do have it. Everybody was born with it, but it's resistant or inactive. It's not working, just isn't working, right? So, and the ghrelin's working overtime, which to me is related to a lot of also exercising and stress and 10 other things probably. That's the cortisol working to make you hungry, and then you eat, and then you, it's just too much to think about. But anyway, so of course they were trying to figure it all out, and they did. They've come up with these drugs, and they're not only helping with hunger and getting people to lose weight and shrink their stomach and the whole deal, but they're also, of course, now, what can I say? Latest thing is they think that it can halt, actually retard, and stop maybe Parkinson's. They already know that there are uses for using for other addictions like alcohol or drugs. So, I mean, this is really a miracle, like it was with antibiotics and then steroids. So anyway, this is all the good news, and it's going to happen, and they'll be better and fewer side effects and cheaper, and it'll be in a pill, and just on and on and on. But how do people change their thinking? How does it change in the brain, which is what 80 Bites is trying to do? It's not about eating 80 bites. It's not about counting every bite you take. No. The app, which is free, is diagnostic. You know, see what it is. So, for example, a woman living in Europe in a cold part, most of the year very cold, not great for growing tomatoes outside or peaches, right? Buys the program, and she's struggling to get to 80 bites. Her, that's a magic number. I explained to her it's not a magic number, but you know, it's just for diagnostic purposes. But it does, if you're eating a balanced meal, everything, you know, that would be what a typical consumption based on normal servings and portions and whatever. And finally, with the back and forth, I was answering questions, I recognized that she's a vegetarian. And I asked her, and she says, yes, just, you know, I really, it would be better if I weren't, because it's hard for me to get fresh vegetables and fruits. It's almost impossible where she is. And it's expensive, and then I have to spend all the time cutting them up and getting them ready, and blah, 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 if I weren't a vegetarian. I said, yeah, and plus it would be much easier to eat less, because the kind of amino acids you get from certain kinds of meat and everything would make it easier, and it would be more balanced, and you'd not have to spend all this time looking for things. And this is vegetarian. Think if it were vegan, which would be 10 times worse. So anyway, that's when I really came to the conclusion that if you want to benefit from this 80 Bites program, you know, have a free app, and then it's $20, it will guaranteed to change your brain, guaranteed to change it. And everybody will be different depending upon where you come in and what your history is, obviously. But no company will tell you that. Noom doesn't tell you that, right? I get an email every single day from Noom. The last one, it was some sort of running or walking app thing, and they were gonna pay me to do it. And it was funny because the week before I'd said, because I love all these emails they send, I'm waiting because I already got 6 months free, which is sort of funny since it was agreed that I needed to lose. I didn't need to lose anything, but it would be 2 pounds, which is what they guarantee in a week. So why did I need 6 months free? Well, that would involve thinking, which, of course, none of this involves. So anyway, I got this. I said, I'm not going to do Noom. I'm not going to do it until they give it to me, not just for free, but they pay me. And then I get this offer. We'll pay you to do this running thing and that. They'll be out of business along with Weight Watchers. And for them, it's been so cynical that, you know, you really wish it. So anyway, we're going along like this, and I'm trying to deal with this exercise thing and you know, why people are just they're so brainwashed to believe that vigorous exercise is going to have you lose weight, when in fact all it does is screw up your hormones even more if you are already fat. I'm not talking about lean people, and make it even harder and on. But at this moment, you know, people are probably just clinging to it because they've had it for so long. It's funny, they cling to something that most people don't want to do, beat up the body, but they believe it. People believe, because there's nothing more effective than wellness marketing. I mean, it should be a subject of study at business schools like Harvard and Columbia and all the others, because you're selling people to do 2 things they don't want to do. Diet, you know, restrict foods, don't eat this, eat that, whatever, and exercise, which obviously will feel terrible if you're fat doing half the things you're supposed to do. So it won't be pleasant. And they're brilliant at it. It's just it's brilliant marketing. It's all marketing. It's all hype. The before and afters, whatever. But people believe it because it is a religion, right? Gluttony and sloth, 2 of the 7 deadly sins. So anyway, I think it's going to change. I hope people don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which I mean by that they are not hungry and they're losing weight, and now maybe they're on a pill form and it's so easy, and then they start to think, well, I don't want to exercise, I don't have to, it's working. And of course, exercise, correct exercise, which is exercise for your own body, which a Pilates teacher can explain that to you and show you what that is, your body and what exercises you need, that is very beneficial. And it's just important. And if you can't afford to pay for it that way, you'll have to do your own research by, you know, looking at videos and reading things, whatever. But you should find out if your right hip is hiked. Actually, most people, I think, would fall in that category because they're sitting with their right leg crossed over their left, right? Whether your feet are flat. Well, you can sort of look and tell that. Whether you have a forward head, well, that's easy to know. You'll get someone to help you and take a photo, or you just sort of twist it in front of a full-length mirror. You'll find these things. If you have a scoliosis, probably your doctor told you. It's on your x-ray, right? So you're trying to find out what your body is like. And unfortunately, very few people are symmetrical. You know, people are not that way. I mean, maybe it is those people. I think I mentioned somewhere in the past that there was a study in Australia as to why certain people are natural athletes and natural movers. And I think one of the conclusions was that they had more symmetrical bodies. You know, they were just lucky. They got in the right body line when they were born. And they didn't mess it up. Because you could have a body that was fairly well balanced and symmetrical, and then you screw it up. So this is pretty complicated stuff. There's no question about it. But you only have one body, so you might as well find out about it and stop fooling yourself that if you have the music that is guaranteed to create hearing loss, you know, you do it for a decade, and you know, you have to get yourself dripping in sweat. So actually, there was a really funny thing about Peloton. Peloton, I think the stock is like $350 now. It was $163. Now it's $3.60, right? Disaster, right? But anyway, one of their top people, this is so funny, one of their very top people was a lawyer. And she was interviewed on television recently, and she's just with someone who does Peloton, a female wellness bitch, who, and they're just loving her. I mean, as if this woman has done the greatest thing. She went to law school, she graduated, she worked in a firm, and she quit it all so she could run on a treadmill and bike. And as if this is, she should be given the Nobel Prize. And, you know, sweating, she kept talking about sweating. And how it's one step at a time, because apparently when she quit being a lawyer, she, you know, couldn't run for two blocks in New York. Well, whatever it is, it's embarrassing. And yet everybody was like cooing. Oh, how wonderful that you gave up the law. And now you sit on a bike and trash talk. Really? Oh, that's such a contribution. So anyway, people are suckered. And I think one of the reasons why the Peloton bikes in my building seem, whenever I'm there, and that's not too often, but they really do seem to be not in use, it's because the glow is not there, the hipness is not there. People are, you know, making fun of it or saying it's overpriced, and of course there's just enormous competition. There's nothing proprietary. It's not like creating Tie 4, which is patent, has two patents. It's a bike. So I think we're coming into a new phase here. There's one article after another that's critical of wellness people and programs and whatever. And you know, every dietitian now is talking about how, oh, I eat macaroni and cheese, as if, wow, I mean, this is breaking every law of the universe, right? So, you know, it all went, as it does in this country, went too far, started off innocently, went too far. Now I just read in Well and Good, which is a 100% wellness rag, that 22% of Generation Z and X are eating disordered. That's not talking about the ones that already have a recognizable eating disorder like bulimia or anorexia. 22% are just messed up. So who knows what the total number is, but that's a really high number. You know, I mean, maybe it's even higher and they're just covering it up. It means these are people that are worried about every bite, right? You know, they see photos of people in Africa starving of malnutrition. Nothing seems to change their position that if they have something and it's not gluten-free, well, it's the end of the world. So, of course, as you can tell, this has never been my point of view, and I think most Americans, not all, are lucky. So there's a lot of homelessness in New York, migrants and other people, and they're sitting on the streets and I see them. And I find it really funny. There's one guy, I see him all the time, and sometimes I give him money because he's so skinny. This guy needs a meal. But then I think, because I, you know, there are people who've done articles in New York Magazine that some of these people are taking in $500 a day so he can buy himself a meal. But of course, what I remember Marika Molnar saying to me, yeah, he's spending it on drugs. She's probably right. And then there's some people who have moved in recently, entire family, and they're fat. And they're begging. And I'm thinking, well, really? You know, the price of food is going higher, which to me is positive, but still costs more to overeat. So this is a very complicated issue. It makes everyone uncomfortable. No one wants to admit the mistakes. No one wants to face up to the fact that Dr. Fauci, skinny little Dr. Fauci, 5'7", maybe 135 pounds, knew how rampant obesity was, and that's why we had the COVID close down. Not that we would get ill. I mean, I had it. Had a sore throat for 10 hours. That was it. Anyway, and natural immunity might have been better. No. Everything, because it was based on fatness. And the teachers were fat, so we had to close the school. Because if you are or were fat and you got COVID for reasons that have to do with this specific kind of disease, there's a lot of inflammation if you're fat, and then that makes a problem if you get sick. And, you know, again, in one of these complicated things with various systems and hormones that, I mean, you need two PhDs to really understand, but common sense tells you we shouldn't have closed down and we will never recover from it. So that's it for today. Bye-bye.